Generally, the people who come in to this show get to choose the music. Have you chosen that?
Here comes the boom. It's not bad.
That'll do. Is that yours or not?
Yeah, I'll take that.
You'll take that?
I like it.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. It's footy season. It's great, isn't it?
It's hard, though, isn't it? On this cricket story. I don't know about you and your mates.
Absolutely.
Are you finding, you know, the boys down in North Heidelberg are in pre-season training mode right now when you're just talking to your mates like Dal and on the way through, you find yourself talking about this cricket story more than you probably should at this time of year?
No, you do. At North Heidelberg, we're talking about it. I still work 2 days a week at the Kangas and they're all talking about it. I think most footballers love their cricket. Yeah. Most cricketers love their football. So it's a good tie. And even when I took the kids to the movies last night, I bumped into a couple of mates and straight away, the first thing they say, what about these blokes at the cricket?
It's
just a massive talking point, isn't it?
You're going to be, you're obviously a legend of the Cape. You're also going to be co-host of TAC Future Stars, which are going to be back on Sundays on Channel 9, looking at the next wave of players coming through, which will be fantastic. And hopefully on the way through this year, you can steer us into one or two of these players
that we should be absolutely
keeping an eye on the way through. One thing I will ask you about the underage footy, and this is something before we get stuck into the five things that you're looking forward to out of the AFL round and a few other bits and pieces rolling around. I was talking to Terry Wallace yesterday, Boomer, and he was saying that this anti-congestion rule that applies at under 18 level, which gives the big tall forwards room to move and space to move in and
one on one,
all of that, and we want to see them play pure footy to know what they've got. So we draft them, picks one, picks two, picks three. We take the big keys because that's the chance to get them. But then they get into the AFL system at the elite level. They don't get those options anymore. They've got numbers folding back, and they seem to be finding it more difficult, the big talls.
So I actually caught up with the Northern Knights coach not too long ago. I'm doing a little bit of work at the Northern Knights and sat there, and we're just going through his game plan. He was telling me about how the wingers need to stay out, and I said, why don't you push your wingers into defence to help support the backs? And he said, because we need someone to kick to. I said, so just kick to your forwards. And he said, yeah, but we can only have one. I said, what are you talking about? He said, that's our rule. Mm. I said, well, change your rules because it's a silly rule. And he goes, no, that's the under-18 rule.
Comp,
so I actually didn't know about it. And then you go back and you speak to a few other people and you start thinking about it. And for me, you're right. They're playing one-on-one football and it's great to see if they're a good one-on-one player and for the defender as well, see if he can defend one-on-one. Then they get into the AFL system, drafted on the back of being a one-on-one player. They don't do it. So then it takes or it prolongs their development for me. It takes them an extra 2 years to really develop how to work in traffic, how to get today's football. We know if you're a forward, you're getting up to centre half back and defending, then working back to goal and then hitting back up. These young kids can't do that because they're not outside 50. So it does take a little bit longer for them to develop as footballers in today's style that we play.
Mate, it's sort of like a misleading economy because these guys they become dominant. There's going to be, you know, this year there's a couple of kids, the King twins, and we know that, you know, they're going to be front and centre when it comes to maybe pick one, maybe a couple of them will go.
Lukosius from South Australia.
Exactly. It's a bit of a misleading economy because you need to be able to project if you're a recruiter. Okay, that's what he does at this level, and he's got all the attributes to play.
Has he got the tank?
And is he going to be able to be big enough and strong enough to cope with the extra bodies that fold back on him?
How long's Paddy McCartan been in the...
Well, a few years now.
Did they have that rule in the 18s when Paddy came through?
Oh, you're testing me. No.
If they... He's the one that springs to mind. He looks like a one-on-one beast. He'll just beat anyone one-on-one, but he doesn't get that opportunity. He ain't playing one-on-one anymore. You're playing two-on-one. Sometimes you're playing three-on-one. As I said, you need to hit up. You need to reset back to goal. You need to hit up again.
Yep.
Then you've got defenders in your way. You're not getting that in the under-18 competition. So I don't know how long it will last, whether we need to go back and have a look at the whole system and redo it, rejig it, and make some new rules up.
It'll be fascinating to see how it develops and what sort of impact it has on top-level picks in the draft. I wonder whether we might see more... much a premium returning to kind of midfielders. And
so, quick question, does South Australia and West Australia do that with their underage football?
So you got me again.
Yeah, well, I don't know the answer.
Well,
either,
see, a lot of those guys are playing senior footy.
Yeah.
A lot of the 18s.
So they're exposed.
Lukosius, the kid you mentioned last year when the 18s. They went back and played Sandford footy and dominated. Look, he kicked five in a final. He loquacious underage last year, so you know he can cope with a, you know, in inverted commas, with a proper.
I am working with that group too, Andy, of the AFL Academy.
Well, can you keep us just a, the no, ones absolutely. That really jump off the page?
We've got a camp next week in Melbourne for a full week. Just went to America with the young kids as well. Unbelievable group coming through. So we will touch on a few of them coming through, no doubt.
There's some talent going. Okay, so you're going to give me the five things you're looking forward to this week. But there's a couple of things I want to talk to you before we get there. Zach Merritt's going to play this week, Boomer. Now, he's already copped a couple of hits, allegedly. One in the JLT, one in training. And he cops one last week. It was a significant enough knock on the head for him not to come back. Seemingly he's passed concussion. Well, of course he's passed concussion protocols.
Yep.
Essendon's not going to take a risk with him if he hasn't. But there still is, for some of us out there, this lingering worry, concern, that are we taking concussion or big heavy head knocks seriously enough in this comp? If a bloke can be knocked out early or taken out of a game early, like Merritt was last week, and a week later he's passed all fit, ready to go. Are we right to be having these concerns? I would imagine you'd be quite confident that footy's doing the right thing and taking this thing seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm still entrenched in the football club, and I know the protocols that they take to go through. I think we had one player last year that was right on the brink. He had to sit the test again. I think he actually passed, and in the end they said, you know what, we're not going to risk it. It's not healthy for the player. It's not going to be healthy for the football club. So I know they do take the right protocol. So no question Essendon have done the right thing with Merritt. You only got to go back not too long ago. I actually got knocked out in one of my milestone games. I went into the dugout and they said, count back by nines from 100, which is tough to do when you're not concussed.
I don't know whether I could do that right
now. I did it, and I was on in the same quarter. I actually got knocked out. So
you were out.
I was out, yep. And I came off the ground. I did this little concussion test, which is the way to do it back then. I came back on the ground that quarter. I actually kicked the goal.
How long ago were we going back?
Oh, it was a while because it was my 250th game.
Right. So. 19 years ago.
Well, not quite. No, 19, Andy. But I know now what they do. I see the protocols. I've done the test two years ago when I was playing. They do. I think we're well advanced now to make the right decisions.
9429 1116. Any footy you want to talk to Brent Harvey about, you can. Where are you on Tigers? With a lot of conversation off the back of Saturday night's game, Collingwood, Tom Mitchell, didn't tag, all of that, right? Rob Shaw wrote a really interesting piece on his blog site about Tigers and the fact that there's still a place, that the nature of what we considered a Tiger 20 years ago, considering what they are now, and you played with a good one in recent times. Is there still, if you were setting up a 22, you're a coach, have you got somebody in your team who can do that job?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep, absolutely. I think today's game is team defence, and we all know that. So I think gone are the days where there's a Ryan Crowley running around and literally playing one-on-one. Mm. And when the ball's there to be won, Crowley never used to go and win it. If he could influence a contest to another opponent, he would stay on you.
Yeah.
Them players, they're done.
Can't do that anymore.
We look at North Melbourne, I reckon Benny Jacobs is one of the best taggers going around.
Yeah.
And if the ball's there to be won or he can influence another opponent, he'll go and do it. And he has to because that's his role. So to answer the question, yes, there is a role for them. They just have to step outside the box that they're used to.
So they've got to get more of the ball than...
Well, not so much more of the ball. They've got to leave their opponent and trust their teammates to go and influence another contest. Whereas 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago, players didn't do that. They would just lock onto you and wouldn't care about what happens down the track. They wouldn't care if someone else kicked the goal.
Yeah.
As long as you didn't kick the goal, they think they're doing their job. And that used to annoy me a little bit, don't worry.
I bet it did.
But I think there is, Andy. I think there is. You can't let Tom Mitchell run around and have 54 touches. And people say he doesn't break lines. And yeah, maybe he doesn't. But gee, he wins the ball in close.
Yeah.
He gives him the outside run. You've got to get outside run, you've got to win the ball at the contest. He did it 54 times.
Spot on. I think I might have mentioned Rob Harvey. It was Rob Shaw who wrote the column. I loved Greg Williams yesterday. So somebody's asked Diesel, oh, you've lost your record, you know, you must be disappointed to see it go. He said, yeah, I had 53, I had 54, but he didn't kick six.
That's unbelievable.
Isn't that beautiful?
And I look at games and, like, I never really seen Lee Matthews at his best, but... Did he kick 90-odd goals as a...
Oh, yeah, he did, at the end of his career.
It's unbelievable.
At the end
of
his career.
As a small forward.
So that's what he did. Like, he became... And he became I'm old enough to remember him. He became this sort of small power forward. Like he was a beast.
And they compare him to Ablett having 46 possessions, and he was exactly the same. You know, I had 46, but I kicked 7.
That's right.
And Deezer Williams kicked 6 and had 53 or whatever it was.
Absolutely phenomenal. That's
another level.
What should we expect out of Adelaide tonight? I don't know whether there's one of your five things that you're looking for out of the round included in tonight's game between Adelaide and Richmond. You'll hear it here, of course, on SEN. But what should we... They dropped one that they probably should have won last week, leading by 20 at three-quarter time. All due respect,
yes,
of course, to Essendon. They return home tonight. The skipper's back. Do they expect a very, very significant response to that loss last week?
You would hope so. Mm. I think losing the grand final, they were going into the game favourites, and they got knocked around a little bit. They got, I don't know if they got bullied, but they got punched up. Let's face it. It was a significant win by Richmond, not only because it was a grand final, but just the way they did it. So I think in front of their home crowd, Adelaide have to bounce back. They get their captain back, as you mentioned. They've still got a few out. Brad Crouch is a star.
He might. I don't know how long of this season he's going to miss. It sounds like it's getting increasingly more dire for him.
And that's not a good thing. Him and his brother are turned into elite players in the competition. Brody Smith's the one for me. Who did they send back? I think they've named Malera or someone like that down back. But no one can do what he's done.
He's run with the ball.
He's an 80 or 90 meter player. Mm. He's a beautiful kick. We all know that. But what we don't remember, he runs and bounces the ball and takes the game on. Rory Laird doesn't do that.
Mm.
He has his 35, and he's a great little player, but he doesn't break lines like Brody Smith does. I think he's a massive out. They need to send someone back, a Rory Atkins or someone, and say, you're on half back. Get in the football and run and carry the ball.
Where are you on the whole preseason camp, though? I don't know how much you've dived into this story.
We've actually did the soggy camp.
The sort of pushing to the brinks of your mental endurance and psychological endurance, all that sort of stuff.
Yep. And I think there's still a place for it. There's going to be guys that absolutely thrive on that sort of stuff. And you find out who's going to be in your corner. It's all that sort of, men,
that's what
macho.
They're searching for, right?
Yep. Absolutely. They push it to the nth degree. Some of the stuff we done was unbelievable. The part I don't like is football clubs tell you, and they're paying these players $500,000 and $600,000, and they've got big contracts, so I fully understand, don't go water skiing. Don't go motorbike riding. Don't spend too much time on your legs. But then the next time, we're going to take you on a camp. We're going to put blisters on top of blisters. We're going to put backpacks in your, bricks in your backpack.
We're going to blindfold you.
And when you've got a sore back, we're going to say, walk another 20K. Now, is that smart? No. If you're going to miss football, it's going to jeopardize any part of training. I think you've got to pull back a little bit. So when we did our camp, just say our camp was a 10. I liked it because I'm a bit old school. Yep. If our camp was a 10 out of 10, I think they should pull it back to about a 6 or a 7 out of 10. Still push you to a spot that's really tough, but don't overdo it. Don't give blokes blisters. Don't give blokes sore ankles. Someone hurt their knee.
Yeah.
Pull them out.
Yeah.
You do it at training. Yep. There's so many emphasis on loads now and training loads and all these sort of stuff. Don't push them to the brink of that.
Were you doing this early in your career? Was this a Dennis thing, or was it later in your career?
We did it under Dean Laidley.
Under Dean, okay, right. And you reckon there was a genuine benefit to be gained
from
the group?
Yep, 100%. We did a bit of sleep deprivation and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And I enjoyed it because it was mentally tough, mentally challenged.
Yeah.
You find out the guys that probably don't want to push themselves to there, then you find out guys who surprise you and you think, wow, where'd that come from?
So if it's all about building trust and all that sort of stuff amongst, and who are the guys that are going to pick the ones up that can't get through, they need a hand, does it have an impact on the way you look at some members of your squad when it comes to game day?
Yes.
It does.
Yep, I reckon it would. I reckon there's blokes that turn it up a little bit and then you just start looking at him a little bit different.
You know who they are.
In the last quarter, in 10 minutes to go and it's getting tough, I'm not sure if he's going to do what we need.
Yeah.
And I guess the coaches find out that as well. And that's probably why they do it.
Yeah.
And then you have a couple of guys that fully surprise you and think, wow, I want to play with this bloke.
Do you get them playing the Richmond? Part of the element of this is them repeatedly playing the Richmond theme song to the players over and over again. Is there a possibility that you might become too consumed on one team and one event and one moment in your season when, for the rest of the season, what they did by and large was pretty impressive in 2017?
It's a tough one, Andy, because we're not in their sanctum. We don't know what's going on. And I always, as a player, always found it pretty funny listening to people on radio, TV and all that sort of stuff making comments on what we're doing when they only see a tenth of it.
Yeah.
And we're doing so many other things that, so it's really hard to comment on it, whether some players wanted it, maybe it was driven by the coaches, just to see how they react. There's so much water that needs to go under the bridge to understand what the whole thing is. So it's really hard to comment for me, and I don't like commenting on stuff I don't really know a lot about.
23 past, so we're going to break out of the way. Brent Harvey in the studio, legend of the Cape, of course, co-host of Future Star Sundays on Channel 9 at 12:30 p.m.
They haven't got a good list. I thought that they had six almost A graders or on the verge of.
Who's
been relegated?
Well, this will get me into some strife, I suspect. But
I don't, you just want to be in strife.
No, I don't. I don't think Scotty Pendlebury's an A grader anymore.
What is he then?
Well, he's a very good player, but I don't think he's a bloke who's going to change the course of a match, and that's how I determine A graders.
So that was Mike with the boys on Brekkie this morning. Brent Harvey in the studio with us, as he will be every Friday, but with the holiday tomorrow, he's in a day early. We love this stuff. Like, it means nothing what people on the outside, where we rank players and top 50s and all, but it's great grist for the mill. Do you reckon Pendlebury is still at the elite level of AFL players? Mike clearly thinks that he's just come off a little bit.
No, I do.
You do?
Yeah, I think he's a really good player. I think he's never been quick. He's a loper, but he's quick with his mind. He's a little bit like Sam Mitchell to me. Never broke a line with his legs, but gee, broke a line with his mind.
Yeah.
And when I say break a line, just being smarter than the defense. He just gets the ball out. I think Pendlebury's a very, very good player. I actually think Collingwood's midfield are very good. Collingwood are lacking goal scoring players. For Solo's in, even when Elliott's in, I cannot see Collingwood kicking a big enough score to win.
You were a beautiful kick of the footy.
Thank
Do
you.
They kick it well enough? They're generally speaking their midfield. That's the big
knock
on them, you know.
And people say the forwards are a byproduct of what happens up the ground, but it works in reverse as well. If the Pies are, again, I can't see them kicking enough scores. So straight away you look at their midfield and say that they're not getting the delivery. Well, are they? And I know Trelaw's not a fantastic kick. Pendlebury's a beautiful kick, though. He's beautiful with his
Adams,
hands and feet.
You know,
yeah, Adams is okay. Yeah. Sidebottoms is
he's
fantastic. Yeah. He's in the top 10 in the game. So if Collingwood are kicking more goals, all of a sudden they say, gee, their midfield's good, and they're good users, aren't they? That's how it works. That's our game.
Yeah, it changes pretty quickly. Charlie's in Cheltenham at 1:30. Brent Harvey in the studio. Hi, Charlie.
G'day, Burma, Randy.
G'day, Charlie.
This Adelaide camp thing and the Richmond theme song, it's cracking me up. Like when Richmond beat Adelaide tonight, they'll be walking off the ground to the Richmond theme song.
A lot of Richmond supporters are pretty happy
with themselves up and about.
Good on them. It's been a long time.
I was with Mick Molloy this morning, and he's got a brand new pair of runners, and the laces have got the players' names.
Has it.
Oh, no.
Really?
All the Richmond Premiership players' names are on all the laces.
They're life members too, aren't they?
Gotta grow up a bit, the boy. Right, are the top five things you're looking forward to out of round two, Boomer? Give me the five in no particular order.
Yeah, I'm going to start. We've already spoken about it, but tonight, Adelaide Crows versus Richmond, the grand final. Well, it's not a rematch. Is it a rematch?
Of course it is.
Yeah,
well,
grand final rematch.
A few of those,
We've seen the way the Adelaide boys stood at the anthem and tried to bluff and do all that sort of stuff, and Richmond can't just come out and bully them. I don't reckon that's going to happen tonight. I reckon Don Pike's going to say, let's go out, and we've got to hit them head on. And Richmond are going to be the same, though. They're going to go out there and say, righto, we're the best team in the competition, the second best team in the competition last year. Let's go out and hit it head on. So I'm looking forward to going footy training tonight, having a shower, going home, sitting on the couch with a nice bowl of pasta or something, and watching the football.
That sounds pretty good to me.
Yep, absolutely.
Number two?
I think this is something that we've all been waiting for. Ablett, Selwood, and Dangerfield, all in the same team. Now, Andy, how good would that be to coach?
Well, yeah, it'd be awesome. I mean, it comes with some difficulties, though.
But what do you do? That was my next question.
Yeah, yeah.
Who plays forward and who plays in the middle? Because you know what? For me, and at some stage it will happen, all three will be in the middle of the ground together with the ruckman.
Out of the three of them, who's the best option forward?
Dangerfield.
Right, yeah.
Dangerfield's the best player in the competition.
Okay.
By a long way for me.
By a long way.
He does everything. He's powerful, he marks, and he kicks goals.
Better than Lance Franklin.
Yes,
okay.
For me.
Yep
for
better
me.
Than Dusty Martin.
Yes, for absolutely.
Wow, okay, righto.
Yep.
And they're playing Hawthorn, which just adds another little...
Exactly right. But you can't push Mitch Duncan out, who's just gets the football.
Yeah.
So they've got their third option. That's why they can afford to play one up forward.
Yeah, that's
so I'm
exciting.
Really looking forward to that. Like most football lovers, just looking forward
it's
to
be
that.
Awesome. It's going
to
be awesome.
Third, Good Friday football.
Mm.
Some people hate it. Some people love it. I'm a football tragic. I'm going to watch the Kangas. I'm having a kick at quarter time too. Kick for the kids.
Great.
I think we get $100 per metre, so hopefully I can raise a little bit, not shank one.
You've always been able to kick a barrel.
Yeah, I can.
Will you launch?
I'll be practising tonight at footy training and go down tomorrow. So, but good Friday football in general. It gives people something to do. And again, some people don't want to do nothing. Don't go and watch the football. That's okay. But people love it. Go and watch the football. Spot Enjoy on. The day. Do it with your family. I'm taking my children there and going to go watch the Kangas. So I'm looking forward to good Friday football.
So are a lot of people.
This week, last week, I seen two of the best youngsters in the same team together, Patrick Cripps and Charlie Curnow. Yeah. Fantastic. They're two of the best three youngsters in the game. Petrucca's my third.
Yep.
All going to be absolutely superstars. The way they dominated the game last week, I want to see if they can do it again.
They need to this week.
They do.
You know what? If they don't do it this week, I've said this a few times, but if they, whatever ground they made last week against Richmond as a group, they throw it out the window.
Straight back.
They do, don't they?
Straight back to square one.
And they know that, don't they? They know that. And the coaches will be hammering that this
absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. And the opposition now, they know how important Cripps is, and they know how good this Curnow is going to be. So they put a little bit more time into them, then it becomes a little bit more difficult. So this is where good players go again.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to watching Carlton play for those two.
Is that four, I think?
That was four.
Yep.
And I'm just looking to watch the best team in the competition play against Collingwood, and that's GWS. I just love the way they go about it. It's free-flowing football, handball from behind, just get the run, get the ball into the tall forwards, and they go to work. They're the best team in the competition.
Didn't they make a mess? They look sharp. There was a sharpness about them last week.
And I couldn't work out if the Bulldogs were that bad or GWS were that good. But we'll find out a little bit more again this week against the Pies.
No doubt about that. Shane's in North Fitzroy before we let you go, Boomer. Shane, fire away, mate.
G'day, Andrew. G'day, Boomer.
G'day, Shane.
Couldn't agree more with your sentiments on those top five or whatever they were.
They're five good.
Just on a personal note first, Andy. Geez, you've had a whirlwind 6 months, haven't you? Radio career in limbo, then back to the afternoon gig, and then Wooshka, off to the Masters.
Shane, the word Wooshka can't be mentioned often enough on this radio show.
Well done. Well done to you, mate. Thanks, so, fantastic stuff. Just on the Hawks. And as Mo says here, and this is now, I'm a pretty...
Yeah, we know. Yes.
Man.
Yes.
Now, look, I think Collingwood, against Collingwood last week, they were obviously pretty good, but I think Collingwood suffers a little bit what the Bulldogs are suffering from at the moment. They can't get any, continuity, a solid 18, 22 players that are in there every week where, they can get a bit of continuity going. I think that'll come, but it might just be a little bit late for them both to make the finals, but... just on the Hawks, you can't read, I don't think, a lot into their win last week. I know, Andy, you think they might make the finals, but I'm not as bullish as you. I think, their defence probably lacks a little bit, and I think maybe they're a little bit slow down there. But and against the Cats, I think the Cats have sort of reinvented themselves. You're right with Dangerfield. He can go forward and kick goals. But I think it's a great move putting... who's the other midfielder? I can't remember his name off the top of my head. The long-haired fella who's played in the midfield, but now he's playing down...
Guthrie.
Back, sort of. Guthrie, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Good running half-back, and they found a few in the draft. And I think I've sort of undersold them a bit. I think they could be a real danger this year, Geelong.
Shane, I reckon this is a fantastic test for Hawthorn this week. Geelong, we all think you're going to be a top two or three team this year. Great test for Hawthorn.
Yeah, I'm with Shane. I haven't picked Hawthorn to make my top eight.
I'm banking on a few things to go right. And in the opening round...
Oh, you need that. Don't worry
Mitchell
about that.
Mitchell, O'Meara, McAvoy went right. And if I just look at their forward line, mate. Their forward line is potentially just explosive.
Yeah,
they've got a great balance.
You need to get the ball into the forwards,
yes,
Andy.
Do.
And
yes,
this is... You're a byproduct of what happens up the ground. I can't stress that enough.
Yeah.
When they are flying, they had the best in the competition. Now, you know who the best small forwards are in the competition now? The Richmond small forwards.
Yeah, well, they've got about 17 of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they go beautifully. Mate, we'll be watching you on Future Stars right throughout the year. Sundays, 12:30 on Channel 9, and we'll be seeing you on Fridays in here.
Beautiful. Looking forward to it.
Good luck with that
it.
Injured finger of yours too.
Thanks,
by the way.
Andy.
And good luck kicking the footy on Friday.
Yes, thank you very much.
That you're doing. Brent Harvey's going to be a regular here on Fridays.